Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Lewis. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between food production and food consumption. Jay Truitt, he's in the shoot. He's ready to buck out here on a Tuesday. What shoot are you in?
I'm in Pixieville this morning. That's no. All I know.
No, what I was trying to do is if you had an advertiser, a sponsor on your shoot that you're going to buck out, who would it be?
I don't know. I'd have to even think. D&M Leasing, maybe a local leasing company. We'll have to pick one. I'm in the number 3 D&M Leasing shoot.
Coming out of the shoot number 4, the DM Leasing shoot, it's the bull, Jay Truitt. Yeah, hey, completely unrelated news, but because you're in Texas and all things Texas, you know the answer to. I guess I understand the basis of this question, but why does Buc-ee's think it's important to become nationwide? Why can't people just have a really good thing in a, you know, just the state of Texas, grow in Texas and be what you want to be, but they're going to go nationwide? I don't understand that.
Yeah. So at one point, you know, I do know that Buc-ee's kind of had an intentional plan to stay within what you would call the greater Texas area. Right. So you might drift a little over into Louisiana or New Mexico, but not Virginia.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Tennessee. And Gatlinburg, Tennessee, or between Knoxville and
they're all across the South now. Yeah. And I think moving up. There's a Buc-ee's somewhere up on 44 now, I think. Way up 44 in Missouri or someplace. It's a great question, but they did just change. The company hasn't changed like ownership or anything. They're still the same company, same basic folks, really. But no, I can imagine that people were employing them to move. Wanting them there, recruiting them.
I'm sure that's true.
But they are.
If you look at the history of big gas stations, they're not a truck stop. They're a gas station.
Yeah.
With everything from, it's like a Walmart on steroids. If you haven't been, with the best food you can find, maybe even in some restaurants.
But I describe them as a Bass Pro crossed with a Walmart crossed with a food court.
And to screw that up by going bigger, because if you look at the history of any company that's done this, at some point you'll just be owned by Love's.
Maybe, right? And maybe that is the plan, right? Is to become a nationwide chain and then just let it sell. It's always possible. I will say this though, right? The reason that you go to Buc-ee's is for the novelty of the place. Number one, the uniqueness of it. And if somebody like a Love's or one of those kind of, outfits, right. All sups do that in this part of the world. Do those really big stations too. If they tried to put their touch on it, you know what? It wouldn't work like it does at Buc-ee's. Buc-ee's is a phenomenon, and people if you go to the Buc-ee's at Madisonville, Texas, almost 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you will feel like you have just stepped into a shopping mall on Black Friday. I mean, literally, people are jamming that store 24/7. And all 80 pumps outside, or however many there are, I think there is like 70 or 80 pumps there outside,
Their
will have,
base footprint is 82.
yeah, two cars in each spot, and probably a car waiting in 10 or 12. And it's a not it it's just unique. People make fun of, listen, I had a whole bunch of my Virginia friends made fun of it. And they would go like, "Oh, Bucky's, that's so stupid. We don't fall for that kind of stuff here." Well, so maybe this is why Bucky's did this too, though, is that they heard that kind of thing. So here, 2 years or 3, 4 years ago, whenever it was that this store opened down in Southern Virginia, the first big store in Southern Virginia opened, and right on the Tennessee line there, north of Bristol. And holy cow, Virginia folk, you do too, Buckies, right? You do. I drove by there that weekend, and I saw you lined up on the highway waiting to get in there. So, no. It just that you know what? They are who they are. They're straight up about that. They're unapologetically who they are. They don't try to be someone else. And I say they're like a Bass Pro crossed with a Walmart,
Yeah,
crossed
Walmart's
with
a
a food
bad word
court.
in that, but I used it too.
Yeah, but no, I mean, the truth is they really aren't like those things either. So I'm kind of wrong when I said that. Well, I am wrong when I said that. Not kind of wrong. You can't kind of be
Yeah,
wrong,
well,
really.
I'm
I
just
was
telling you,
wrong.
you need to be hungry when you go there.
They are Buc-ee's. They are just unique. If you've never been to one, you'll see the sign 179 miles ahead of time. It's not like you've not been warned.
Next exit. Apparently, we need to contact their marketing department and become their marketing arm.
Oh my goodness. Right, yeah, we well, that's the shoot I'm in this morning.
Yeah,
I'm
the
in the
Bucky
number
shoot.
seven
That's
Buc-ee's
actually
shoot.
what made me think of it. Oh my goodness.
Oh, that
But
is
I mean,
funny.
they just do meat, brisket, and
Yeah.
all of these things as well as anybody.
And they have a bigger meat department than a lot of grocery
Oh, they
stores
do.
do,
In each
right?
store.
In every single store, they have their own cutters inside in the house. They pay very well. And they are always out recruiting new people to come in. I know it's probably a hard place to work because when you go to work there, you work, right? You don't, it's
No,
not one of
they're
those where
busy.
you sit around and do your nails and check your phone all day. That you're going to be hustling all day.
And they got this little trinket area, you know, where those little words of wisdom that you put up on the
Oh,
wall.
yeah. Yeah.
Pixie would be all about this, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I had to take a picture because I was with my mom when we had the man march in Tennessee with Pastor Jeff. And there's one there at Gatlinburg, and I saw this sign, you know, Lindsay's an RN. And the little placard said, "Yes, I'm a nurse. No, I don't want to look at it." Because everybody who's a nurse, you know, they have every family member like,
Oh yeah.
"Oh, hey, I got this. No, I don't want to look at
Oh no.
it."
You have to do it. I one of my best friends in life is a woman who happens to be a PA, and she says the same thing. She goes, "You know, if you're if I have to look at it, just know I've already seen one before.
Yeah.
Whatever it is you've got, I've probably seen it before." So
Right.
just I don't want to do it today.
30 seconds. Did we get some weather in Dallas this week?
Yeah, well, we did. We've had a we're I feel like we're caught up on rain, but I'm sure that down in the subsoil we're not. But it sure feels like we're in good shape for the spring, right in the city where it doesn't matter.
Yeah, a week ago, all reports were that central Nebraska was 16 inches behind normal to get out of the drought, which is strange because we're 21 inches a year, but we really hadn't had any moisture since September,
Right.
including snow. But when we got 2 inches this past week with a lot of devastation, everybody's like, man, it's so good to have a rain.
Yeah.
It's amazing what that smell of rain will do.
I will say this, though, right? This is already like super spotty here, even though. You can pick a place and drive 30 miles down the road, and I'm in a whole different setup.
I'm picking a place. It's right here. Jay Trudd after this. Now, let's also pick a place to be in January 2027. It's the National Western. I will be calling today the family from Northeast Colorado that's got a catch-a-calf. Well, stay tuned. We'll have details about that. The catch-a-calf program is absolutely the hands-down best livestock program at the National Western. I know it's too late for this year, but the educational opportunities and the real-world experience is what it's about. NationalWestern.com. Welcome back, Rural Route, Trent Lewis, Jay Truitt. Jay, we're not going to get hung up on this, but I need to respond. During the break, I knew there'd be some Bucky's comments. Karen let us know that there's one planned on the west side of Omaha. And Rhonda, I'm a big fan.
Omaha?
Omaha, Nebraska. You know where
that is. So you get a Bucky's. You'll have your very own.
Yeah, maybe 200 miles away.
200 miles.
And Rhonda, I'm a fan of Quick Start or Quick Trip, and Bucky's is like 10 times of what that is. So
yeah.
And Walter, you need to get out more. Okay.
Yeah,
Amarillo.
That's almost always the case, though. Walter needs a road trip.
Well, you need to come to Nebraska.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe come up and buy me a cup of coffee, or I'll buy him a cup of coffee. Some morning. That'd be a good trip for him.
I'm gonna need a rooster for my hands here pretty quick, so that'll be a good reason for him to come.
Well,
so Amarillo, is there a new beef plant going on?
So there was a proposal that was put down about a year ago, and there is a permit for a new plant there. I think a $250 million facility that was supposed to be constructed. But I'm not aware of the actual ownership. There, Cavanaugh's Beef did a big change like back in 22 on a facility. But I mean, the most recent real news, honestly, in Amarillo is that Tyson cut a shift out, you know, but that's been a while.
That was a thousand head a day, right? Went from 6 to 5.
And it's, I mean, they, heck, that was even a long time ago though, when that happened, right?
January.
Basically, when
it was the same day as Lexington closed.
Same day as Lexington was announced. So that's not something that's really the market's a long time adjusted to that.
Right.
But no, there was a producer group that was trying to pull an effort together. And I honestly just don't know where they're at. I haven't heard Boo Sikkim from that group for a while. They may be really close to getting their stuff together, but I'm not aware of that.
Well, you know, everybody spends a tremendous amount of time talking about the Packer monopoly, and rightfully so. I'm not saying that's not a good topic, but let's just take sustainable beef at North Platte. There's a couple producers get an idea to have a producer-owned plant and want to kick in some money and make it happen. And they get halfway there and they're like, well, we don't have enough to finish this. We can't do it. So then they turn to Walmart to finish the deal. So you ultimately get back into monopoly as a partner that you started with. And don't tell me that Walmart, who doesn't have a packing plant other than sustainable beef, isn't part of the big four because they control everything. But then the whole concept of getting enough equity put into a plant owned by producers, because we always try to build it too big. Build something that's more regional and more niche and people can really tie onto, and then you can make it work.
Yeah, I understand the concepts behind all the different options. I will say this, for a fair amount of my life, I almost made a career out of evaluating pro formas and business model plans to give people advice about processing facilities. So I've seen all the different options. There are some basic economies of scale that really matter, and it's not about the beef, it's about everything else in the plant. Having a capacity that allows you to deal in truckload lots of offal and rendering capacity and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I promise you is you can almost look at people's track records and you will see that those being able to manage that, it doesn't always have to be that way, but having a market for every single one of those products in what is commercially viable sizes so that you can get it priced appropriately, will be a determining factor in whether or not you're going to be there 3 years after you open.
And to your point, roughly $150 from the offal slash hide that the large plants get that your local butcher shop puts in a dump.
Yeah, no, that is the thing. And it is the difference. And so that $150 is not even just all there. That's not all gravy. You don't get $150. It takes money to process and run and modify that and to sell it. And then you got to carry the money, blah, blah, blah. But for sure, not getting anything for it is a death knell. And one of the things that nobody really wants to talk about, including at USDA, is that there may be more actual true blue margin in offal rendering offtake products that involve shanks and random cuts in today's world. There may be better margin in that than there is even in like ribeyes. And people goes like, well, how can that be? Why do ribeyes cost $25? Well, they cost $25 or $9, whatever they cost, because that's what they cost. And that is what the market is for that particular day. But I will tell you that if you look at these numbers hard enough and long enough, and really like pay attention on a day-to-day basis, what you just talked about is why we are where we are. We have a big four because in order to meet the demands in the pet food market and the offal trade and rendering and
And cosmetics, ladies' cosmetics. Let's not leave that one
collagen
out.
for cosmetics, right? All of that gets done in 40,000 pound lot loads. And you just can't meet that. You can't ever get to that without having your product spoiled or ruined if you're operating a plant that has 70, 100, 200, or even it really it's somewhere north of 300 head a day capacity to really make those numbers work out, honestly.
Yeah, and I've often thought that there should be a place that we could go take that offal off the hands of these local butcher shops and add value and make it work. But
No, I
it's
spent
too.
some, well, yeah, to that point, I spent some time working with the state rural development staff about exactly doing that. I think it's maybe possible to do some co-mingling of that for rendering and some other things. There's a shortage of rendering access in the country anyway, right? And it's a nasty
Yeah, why is
business.
that? Because it's such a vital component.
Well, it's number one, trying to get permitted today to do things in some places is really difficult. And you do need to render, you do need like full on access to natural gas and electricity and truck routes, et cetera. It is one of those that you can't just put that building out in the middle of nowhere. It needs to be pretty close to something. But no, It's more concentrated than the packing industry. The rendering industry is way more concentrated.
Oh, yeah. I think 20 years ago, I spoke for the first time for the National Renderers Association. I've spoke for them three times, and it's been now 10 years since I've done that. But each year you go back, the number of people involved, I mean, the consolidation is incredible.
Yeah,
and that was government-driven, by the way.
Yeah, in that industry, one entity owns about 80%. It's not four own 80%.
Yeah.
One.
And you are the darling of this particular event here today, Jay, so we'll just
let you
stick with that.
You betcha.
We're back with the second half of Roll Route after this.
You're clear.
95% of the people have no idea what I just did.
I know, but that was perfect.
Nitric oxide holds the key to cardiovascular health, ultimately to human health. Get more details about the nitric oxide essentialness on the website, N101.com. That's N101.com. TL10 is your coupon code. More details about the most tender beef you can find on the planet, and that is at cpbeef.com for certified Piedmontese, cpbeef.com. Also, goodlifene.com. There's a difference, and they're all certified Piedmontese steaks, all grown by cattlemen in the Great Plains of America, and all tender. And you may not appreciate. I was one of those. I did not appreciate the tenderness advantage until I had the first cpbeef.com steak. It made a believer out of me, and now I do taste test all the time, and people are like, hey, I'll take some more of that. cpbeef.com, certified Piedmontese. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce, Jay Truitt. Before we move on, I did want to just finish up a thought, and I want to use Ravenna, Nebraska, 15 miles from my house, as an example. There is a Leprino cheese plant in Ravenna, and back when Leprino built that brand new one, I believe it's Fort Collins, Greeley, somewhere between Fort Collins and Greeley, they shut down this plant because they wanted to consolidate their efforts. So the town of, I don't know, maybe 1,200 people, Ravenna, maybe a little bigger, not much, was trying to decide, what do we do with this plant? Well, a family outside of town wanted to build a dairy to match what the needs were of that cheese plant. And people were like, no, you can't have a dairy 7 miles from town. It'll stink. It'll cause all these problems and blah, blah, blah. So that they literally prevented the family from getting a permitted dairy to keep an existing facility in Ravenna working. Guess what's there now, Jay?
Maybe nothing. Bats?
No, there is.
Oh.
A food plant. A pet food plant.
A pet food plant.
That takes rendered material. And if they thought that a dairy 7 miles away was a bad thing. And this is, I think this is the reason that rendering has really challenged itself.
Yeah.
You have to be in a very, because it brings about a dose of odoriferous, whatever word I'm trying to come up with there.
Yeah.
Reality. And then not everything smells like a rose, and you still have to have it to make it work.
Well, the problem, the real issue on rendering, it may not be the plant itself, right? There's a lot of ways that you can mitigate and even like essentially eliminate that odor from the plant itself, but it's the trucks coming in and out that become the issue, right? And they all drive through town and they stop and get a cup of coffee somewhere or have a flat tire or do whatever, right?
The cup of coffee is a challenge because since they closed down the plant and wouldn't let the dairy come in, there's been a lot of businesses closed in the town. It's been struggling ever since.
It just doesn't help. That's the difficult part of it. And again, I have over the last year and a half, especially spent a lot of time working on literally trying to work on this whole rendering thing. I do think there's some answers to that gap inside the industry But it's just not something, it's not an easy solution. And for sure, if I got a chance to live next to a rendering facility versus a dairy,
Yeah, no choice. Dairy every day.
dairy.
And to be fair to the folks who live in Ravana, it's not every day. But the days that you do, it has something to do with barometric pressure and humidity.
It does.
Those days are tough. But
It's when
that's only what, maybe 1 out of 30. I don't know.
It's possible to eliminate. And again, part of this whole fixing that solution thing is to be able to build a rendering facility where you need one. And again, they do require a pretty hefty dose of electricity and natural gas to be able to function. So typically that means I need to be right in town somewhere, right? Or near a town or in an industrial park. But it is possible to basically treat the air that leaves the facility. But it's a really expensive thing to do. And it's not a just, like, oh, well, we could spend $10,000, Earl, and we could make this thing smell better. No, it's more like you could spend $73 million,
Right.
Earl, and make it go away. But if you're doing a big enough facility, then it warrants it. But again, now we're back to that economies of scale kind of thing, that discussion, right? And what really creates those economies of scale impacts inside that industry are the same thing that really happens in a whole lot of other places. Someone said, I don't think these places should do X. They shouldn't smell bad. They should have water treatment plants. They should do so and so, so and so. And that all may be true, right? That may be a fair conversation to have. But when you impose that back on the underlying industry, then you basically say, okay, you have to have a water treatment plant. Well, the minimum cost of a water treatment plant, like a city would have, is somewhere in the $40 million range. Well, now you have to have a plant that has to be big enough to justify building a $40 million water treatment plant. It has to make $40 million before it can actually do anything else, or it can't operate. And people go, well, like, oh, get the state to pay for it or do something else. Well, you know what? They don't.
Nor
That's
should
not the
they.
way it works. They
Nor
pay
should they.
for, yeah, they pay for like $100,000 to connect you up. They could get you hooked up, right? Or you're doing a loan from the state. It's still that you have to make for, so now you got to be big enough to have $40 million worth of extra income. Now it's just, you stack water on top of air, on top of insurance, on top of whatever environmental hazards you have over the cost of water in today's world, et cetera, and pretty soon, it takes, somewhere around 2,000, 1,500 to 2,000 head in a beef facility before you can really afford to put all those ingredients together. And that's just a starting point. So hogs is times five, right? So it's basically like 9 or 10,000 head to get to that same
Right.
capacity.
So while we're talking about offal, I'm going to set this up and let you take it away. Trump announced that he was going to China to work on this Iran war situation. Turns out he took 17 CEOs with a net worth of over $1 trillion, most of them from the AI world. But there was one named Brian Sykes who represents, he's president of Cargill, CEO of Cargill. And as a result, we hear several things about farm, but in particular, there was a trade deal supposedly made about soybeans and beef. What
They
what's the reality of this?
they're reopening. So the Chinese market has been completely closed to U.S. beef and the vast majority of U.S. poultry products. And we don't send We don't send middle meats. We don't send hamburger. We don't send any of the thing. Honestly, we don't send probably anything to China that anyone listening or watching has eaten on a regular basis in their lifetime. We're sending odds and ends stuff and products. That is actually what China prefers. It's the number one place that buy in the world that buys chicken feet. They love them like beyond all. People always call me and say, "Hey, I've got somebody that wants to buy chicken feet." And I go, "I know you do. Everyone does. It's called China." And even when it's closed, you can sell chicken feet to China. I mean, it's like,
Well, you go through another country and you still get it there.
yeah, you know what? All you do is just call the Chinese guy and see if he still wants to buy them, and he just tells you where to ship them. So it is what it is. But I'm just saying that, yeah. So open it up. I think I don't know what it equals on poultry, because again, I think there's been some going around China through Vietnam, Thailand, et cetera, but. On beef, it equates to about $30 worth of value that we now can actually get, that we were largely searching to put into dog food or something else. And dog food's not, so listen, dog food is not a product going into dog food isn't a sum zero game. There's a profit in that. Dog food is expensive, right? In case
Yeah, 100%.
if you haven't seen what dog food looks like today, there's a real value in that. But now China is competing with your mutt. So if you have a Chinese oriented dog, he's like trapped on both sides. You should name him Trump and go on and make him sleep outside at night or something, you know, so you can holler at him when you want to.
You shouldn't dangle your participles like that.
Yeah. No, you could pet him when you think he's doing the right thing, and then holler at him. The poor dog would never
Yeah,
know
well, you'd be
why.
hoarse. You'd be hoarse. So, why did Trump come back and tell Hannity that now it was okay for China to buy farmland in the U.S.?
I don't know that that's actually really true. Since most states have actually limited it. It may be one of those things where you can say anything you want about what's happened federally, but most states have put bans in place. So,
Right, so why would he even say that? He did say
well,
that. You can't argue he didn't say that.
yeah, no, I don't have any idea why he said it, obviously. I think he probably is just unaware of what happened with basically every ag state over the last 24 months. Nobody told him.
Yeah, we have not done that in Nebraska. Governor Pillen talks about it, but he's kind of hypocritical because he still sells pigs to Smithfield, owned by China in Crete, Nebraska, while he talks
Right.
about limiting China's ownership in the state. It's a political rhetoric.
Yeah,
But
a lot
Missouri
of
has. Missouri was the
yeah,
first, maybe.
yeah. I think so. Texas has taken some steps. I know that Kansas took some steps to fix some gaps that they had in law, Colorado, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know about the both
Well,
of the Dakotas, but one of them
Christie was
took some
spouting
steps.
off about it as governor, but nothing ever happened. We'll
Yeah.
verify all of that. And I got an Oklahoma story that I learned when that talks about Chinese ownership, and we'll pick it up right there when we come back with the last segment of Roll Route. Jay Truitt coming out of the Bucky Chute, number four, after this.
Glad to be.
Time to talk about Proud of the Farm Energy Free Waters, the big blue box that is insulated so well. And Craig Hoffman, you're absolutely right. It is Proud of the Farm using the free heat you can't beat. That's because of the energy free aspect. Just relies, you got to have a hole big enough coming up from Earth. And then you make that with a PVC pipe. You put this box on top of it that's so well insulated, it's got a flap trap. And it's made in America. What else do you want to know? What else do you need to know? I have 17 of them. Isn't that enough? I mean, proof in the pudding. I don't keep getting them because they don't work. They're handy. They work extremely well year-round. Proud of the Farm Energy Free Waters on the web at proudofthefarm.com. Using the free heat, you just can't beat. Certified Piedmontese, they taste great when you have Pride of the Farm because they're tender and the fresh water makes a difference. CPBeef.com to taste the difference. Welcome back. Rural Route, Trent Luce, Jay Truitt. And before we get back to Jay, in case you're not interested in investing in a rendering plant, which might be a good investment, but gold and silver for sure is a good investment all of the time. And I got the website for you to go. Last week, we had a fantastic conversation about this, noblegoldinvestments.com, noblegoldinvestments.com/Trent Luce. I don't think that gets you a deal, but at least we can track you.
on the coin, do I get like stamped? Trent Luce.
You should get us. Yeah. Wait a minute. If we put my image on a coin, we would probably deter purchases of gold and silver from Noble Gold Investments. So no, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, it'd have to be like on a lesser value coin. But it could be maybe you don't make
nickel.
Gold.
On a nickel.
Yeah, but you get like on a piece of tin first, right? And then you got to work your way up, Trent. You can't start at the top. That's not how life works.
I want to be copper. I just want to be copper.
Copper is fine. Yeah. I don't know if you've heard the story about how Los Angeles is in the middle of, well, they're having an election. Everybody knows that for mayor, which is really a deal. But people have been literally just stealing the copper off the wires on the street poles. For street lights. And so they've had so much theft. So the mayor's solution wasn't to arrest the people doing it. That thought never crossed her mind, or to add some police in those tougher parts of town, et cetera, et cetera. Her solution was that they're gonna install these really expensive solar lights all in those areas. And while you go, okay, well, that's kind of smarter than the thieves, except for the thieves just have to climb the pole and they're still can steal the light, right? I mean, there's now they can have one of those lights in their backyard, right? You don't have to tell anybody. And so it's been quite a little story, kind of a funny thing. They spent, I don't know, $60 million trying to change to solar lights. And now people just take the lights.
At least 26 states have laws or executive actions that prohibit or restrict foreign ownership and investments in agricultural land.
Yeah.
So the first time that I really got tuned into this, it was maybe 10 years ago. I got a phone call from a gentleman in Oklahoma who listens to the show regularly, reads the column of High Plains Journal. And he said, Trent, there's something going on here in Oklahoma you need to know about, and I'd like it if you do a little investigation. And that was that it was at that time a state statute that said Oklahoma National, otherwise known as a Chinese national, could not buy farmland.
Uh-huh.
And yet there was this whole, they had tracked in that one given year, like 2014, $100 million worth of farmland that had been sold to these individuals from China. And I went to Oklahoma, and the number one county that had this problem was supposedly Payne County, Stillwater's in Payne County. And I literally talked to a guy when I went down there that had purchased a cash counting machine because these Chinese guys came in and they wanted to buy farmland and were paying cash for it. Well, what happened was, and so, you know, as I reflect on this, it's during Kevin Stitt's tenure because he was governor at the time, because what had happened was there was a statute that said that China, you could not own farmland, but what they were doing was they were getting the land converted from farmland to industrial. Uh-huh. Buying it as industrial land and then putting marijuana grow houses on these farms.
Right.
And then obviously marijuana became a thing in Oklahoma. I was just in Payne County, Oklahoma last week, went to the Oklahoma State graduation. And Viz, I didn't get a hold of Sheriff Harper, who's I regret that. I needed to call him. But anyway, that's aside from the point. I had taken a tour of all these places where Chinese had bought these farms in Oklahoma, converted them to grow houses, and then you could just see them. They're growing marijuana, and they're owned by Chinese. The last one in Payne County is now for sale because they've saturated the marijuana market in Oklahoma, and they're selling out. And the last one just went up for sale. So apparently that's cyclical too.
Yeah, I think it all is, right? Now, I kind of have a stupid, silly question that I should know the answer to about moving marijuana across state boundaries and all those sorts of things, but we don't need to get off into the weed business
depends
today,
on if you have a brand inspection or not.
Yeah, probably. It would be pot of origin labeling. So it'd be like pool.
I have no idea.
Not cool.
I don't know. You could take marijuana from Oklahoma into Colorado, no?
I don't know. I don't know if you could do that legally. I do know the federal government here about 2 weeks ago changed the marijuana's status altogether. That's been underway for literally 15 years. And FDA finally did approve that transition. Now, whatever status it is, and I think all that really does is let them change the way the federal government views the income from those operations or whatever. But anyway, I'll be honest with you. I just refuse to get too far down in the weeds, no pun intended,
into that whole conversation,
though, right? Just because I would prefer we didn't even have it at all, but we do.
Yeah.
And I do understand that it does help some people for certain issues.
So I want to spend some time on this because it kind of hit my radar this morning.
That's a real thing, though. Right, what you were just talking about with the Chinese guys buying those deals up. Now they're going to collapse. Good. Then go back to China.
Claude Beaubry passed. Claude Beaubry was an interesting man. I spent a day with him at his horse harvesting facility in Fort McLeod, Alberta. It was quite impressive. He at that plant at that time, he was doing bison and horses. And he passed, and now they've shut it down. So we've lost one of the markets in the world for harvesting horses, and he was shipping that, obviously, to Europe mostly, some into Eastern Canada. But there is this whole scream, which I don't buy, that the reason they shut down that plant was because the U.S. government is going to start taking the Western horses on the range, the BLM horses, and open a plant in the United States. That is all sensationalism. There's no movement to open a horse plant, nor is there a desire to take horses from the range and run them through a slaughter facility.
No. Yeah, no. Nor, I can't remember the last time the U.S. government even had basic authority to do any of the basic things that would be associated with owning a slaughter facility.
I do. It was Rick De Los Santos had one permitted and built and spent the money in New Mexico.
Oh, but they took it over, but could they actually build one? There's not one operating today.
Oh, yeah.
Like
he
that.
Took a cow plant. He took a cow plant, converted it to a horse plant, which could happen today. Converted it to a horse plant and then had spent the money, and the USDA would not provide him an inspector to do the job he needed to do. And already,
no, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you got to go like, I don't know. I can't remember I don't even know how the US government just can't do that. It's about a 4-hour conversation, all the reasons why they can't, but I'm just telling you, Congress would climb down their throat to the point that the building would, the USDA building would freeze operations.
Well, here's the other part of it, Jay, that people don't understand. Those horses that are rounded up would take a significant amount of feed to develop any muscle to be worth running through a facility.
Yeah. No, again, there's two conversations here. One of them is that literally that the US government would do something, that's never going to happen. So if anybody ever tells you that, it's never going to happen in regards to this subject matter. They can't. They can't do it here, they can't do it abroad, they can't do it in another country, they can't do it anywhere else. Someone else could do it and they could pay them to do it, but they can't do it. The government can't do it. So don't think the people just, if when somebody tells you something like that, just like laugh. Secondly, wild horses are not of extreme value in the meat market for sure. For all the reasons you just defined. And horses don't gain weight as fast as fed steers do. Or your local feeder pig, right? Not as efficiently, maybe let's say it
Are
like
you
that.
talking feeder pigs or shoats?
Oh my goodness. We
Hank had never heard of a shoat.
you know what? You got it. Sometimes you just have to watch the show, don't you?
Yeah,
Right? So that you
absolutely.
can learn what
When
you
I
need
was
to know.
a kid in 4-H, I had my record book and I had 42 shoats.
Yeah. There you
We
go.
lost that term. Now we got a wiener pig. We never had a wiener
Yeah.
pig in then
No, we
either.
never had a wiener pig. That was a foreign thing.
So this horse issue continues to be an issue. In fact, we're going to address that trend on the loose Thursday. You'll want to tune in.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Here's one little factor that gets left out of the equation. We do not have a horse harvesting facility in the United States. We do have people that handle horse meat because they buy it and sell it to zoos. Zoos are paying a healthy tariff on horse meat because we do not have it domestically. Final thought of the day, Jay, we've got 15 seconds.
Listen, I think in all of this stuff that's going on right now, people just like you got to keep your radar up and also though, don't overpower it. Truly, most conspiracies are a little bit true, but not all of them. Keep
They're
your
only a
sniffer
conspiracy
on.
theory until they become a true conspiracy. Hey, we have successfully journeyed down the path, connecting food producers and food consumers. For J. Troy, Trent Lewis, both of us reminding you that all roads do lead to a rural route. And just enough time left today to talk about Tracer Minerals. Everything that I focus on has to do with health, watering, cardiovascular systems, and immune and reproductive efficiency. If you do not have a solid trace mineral program, you're going to struggle in this regard. That's why we turn to Tracer Minerals, chelated minerals that get the job done. And I'm not only talking about for my cows, but also for my sows, for myself, for my plants. Now that we've had some rain, I'll be applying those Tracer Minerals to the foliage of my big oat crop. Get more details on the website about how Tracer Minerals may play a role in improving your life, whether it be on the farm or at home. TracerMinerals.com.